Good morning. Welcome to Good News Church. I believe that was a good warm-up only for tonight, hymns and hops. How many agree with me? How many will come like that? That was great, and it's going to be even better. And if you need a little hop to let you sing better, it's going to be available as well, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. I don't know about you, but Christmas, for me, it's still, you know, one of the best times of the year. And long time ago, someone asked me, like, why is Christmas so special to you? And I said, you know, very, very easy. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus, you know, changed my life. Jesus changed my wife's life. Jesus changed my family's life. Jesus changed the life of many of my friends. And Jesus is still like changing people's life. So to celebrate, to take the time, to take the whole month and to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a blessing. So I love everything about Christmas, and we have a lot to celebrate. Amen? We have a lot to celebrate. So my name is Ray Souza, and I am one of the pastors here. And today I have the privilege just to share God's word with you. And if you don't mind, I just would like to pray and ask God to bless our time here together as we open up God's word. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your presence here with us. We thank you, Lord, for Good News Church, for this idea that was in your heart and that you have directed us. And Father, from the beginning, we want to follow you. We want to be directed by you as a church. We want to use our time wisely. We want to make this space a blessing for everyone that comes through those doors. And even today, Lord, would you bless us with your presence here? Thank you already for the fellowship around food. Thank you for the opportunity to sing with our hearts and minds. And Father, now as we open up your word, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for the letter of love that we have from you. And bless us, we ask that your Holy Spirit, who is here with us, we ask you that you would inspire your word to us and that you would use whatever we need the most. It's our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. We are going to go to Isaiah 61, if you have your Bible or in your phone, if you want to go there. But before we go there, last week, Drew, he started a series entitled, Why Did Jesus Come? Why did Jesus come? And he went on to talk about the fact that Jesus came to reconcile the lonely. And was such a great message last week. We were all blessed. And today, as part two, I would like to talk about the fact that he came to repair the brokenhearted. He came to repair the brokenhearted. Each one of us have been there. I don't know, maybe you came here today with, you know, a little bit of a broken heart about something or someone, but that's the message today, and may God bring peace to us through this message. And but I would like, if you don't mind, I would like to start the message today with a story, and it's a story about this beautiful girl called Cassie Lynch. I don't know if you have heard her story, but it happened a few years ago, but she wrote it in December 2020, and this is the story at Christmas time of Cassie Lynch, and it goes like this. The year my dad, who was a pastor at the time, was caught in his addiction. And the church leadership asked him and my mom not to attend the Christmas Eve service. The investigation was going on, and they wanted him to step back while it happened. What they didn't count on, I don't think, was for me to show up at the service. I have a deep commitment to tradition, so when my parents said we were not going to the service, I resolved to go by myself. Under the weight of uncertainty and the fear of what I had suspect might just be a true accusation, I showed up to the candlelight service. Families were there to celebrate. It was Christmas, after all. I found my usual spot at the front, and as the first carols rang out, my tears began to fall. I felt like an imposter. I was a cloud of grief and darkness amidst a cheerful celebration. I felt guilty for dampening the time of rejoicing. As I sat, I found myself talking to Jesus, and I told him, "I'm ruining your party." And it was his response in that moment that changed Christmas forever for me. He told me, "Cassie, I came to that manger as a baby, not for those in celebration, but for those in mourning. I came for you in this moment right here." And for the first time in my relatively easy life, I was tasting heartache, and oh, if I only knew how much more would come. And it was there that Jesus showed me the heart of Christmas. Jesus stepped down to pursue the broken, the hurting, and the lost. If this year broke you down, isolate you, left you grieving and fearful or hurt, I want you to know that you don't have to muster up cheer. You don't have to feel like a downer in the midst of celebration. You can sit at the feet of the Savior who came for you, where you are right now. That's how Emmanuel works. It's God with us in the dirt, giving us hope in the face of despair. And she used this verse in Isaiah 9:2, where it says, "Those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in spaces of deepest darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah 9:2. In the words of Cassie Lynch, Jesus stepped down to pursue the broken, the hurting, and the lost. And that's enough reason to celebrate, right? I mean, we could end the message here today. We could be dismissed and be blessed by God. But that's why I love, you know, about Christmas. The real reason why we celebrate is that we have a Savior like none other. We have a Savior that have made a big, big difference in our lives. And He is willing to continue to work in us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake us. And He has given us many, many promises that He will fulfill. He will fulfill. And I love that. So, if you are right there in Isaiah 61, I would like to read the verses from verse 1 to verse 4. And I don't know which translation you're going to be reading there, but I would like to read from the Message translation, which I think it gives us a little flavor of this passage. And it goes like this. "The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me, because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the broken heart, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners, God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, to give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit, to rename them oaks of righteousness planted by God to display his glory. The amazing thing about this passage is that not only this passage is talking about Jesus, like long, long time ago before Jesus came, right? But also we have Jesus himself in Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 18. We have Jesus himself reading this passage in a synagogue in Nazareth, and he applied the entire thing to himself. And it goes like this: the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Do we have the previous verses? Verse 16? Yeah, right there. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as it was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Next. Then we roll up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And modern day translation, right? Mic drop. Can you imagine the people there? You know, Jesus talking about the fulfillment of that passage, of that promise that was given like way back in time. And he was the fulfillment. There he was, the Son of God. He was not a baby in a manger anymore. He was about to do something that will mark history forever and ever. He came to fulfill that amazing promise. He came so that our lives could be totally transformed. And I love this passage. I love that the fact that, you know, Jesus, he was, you know, fitted and he was completely qualified for the job that God sent him to do. Here in Isaiah, it says that he was anointed and he was ordained. It says that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him, and God anointed him. Just like in the Old Testament, where God, he anointed like kings and priests for their office, Christ, he was anointed by God, and he was sended by the Lord. He didn't commission himself. He didn't send it himself. He was sented by the Lord for you and me, for the brokenhearted, which is all of us. He came for all of us. Because if there was one thing that the world needed the most at that time, was the need of a Savior. And Jesus came in due time. He was anointed by God to come for us. Not only was he appointed, ordained, commissioned, and anointed by God, you know, but he was anointed and commissioned to be a preacher, to be just like the prophets, to give us a powerful message. And that's why he came. And he preached. He preached a message that has transformed all our lives, and it's transforming people's life all over the world. Just like, again, in the Old Testament, you know, prophets would prophesy in the name of the Lord. You know, Christ Jesus came to preach and preach to us the good news of good tidings. And I love, you know, the name of our church, Good News. And we should never forget the reason for our existence. We have good news to tell. We have good news to tell. The good news of our Savior. The good news that there is salvation by grace for the worst sinner of all, which all of us represent here this morning. He was to preach good news to the meek, to the penitent, to the humble and poor in spirit. It's interesting how the poor are commonly, you know, best disposed to receive the gospel. And that's the position that I believe God wants us to take every time we come to hear God's word, that we would humble ourselves. It doesn't matter who is delivering God's word. That when we have an opportunity to open up, when we have an opportunity to hear God's word, the best thing that we do is to humble ourselves. It's to be like poor in our spirit, with a prepared heart, ready to receive, ready to mix up with faith what we hear, and ready to see the results that our faith in God and God's word will make in our lives. That is beautiful. So he came to preach good news, but he also came to be the healer, to bind up the brokenhearted, to those whose hearts are broken of sin and broken for sin, those who are truly humble under the sense of guilty and fear, just like in the story of Casey Lynch this morning. She was broken for the sin of her daddy, but she made the best decision ever. She ran to the only one that could help her. She ran to him. She ran to the feet of the cross, and she found a great provision there from the greatest healer of all, Jesus Christ. And there she was, and there Christ was, and he was operating in that broken heart, and he was healing. He was binding up the wounds that probably was there, unfortunately caused by her dad. And only we can imagine how she left that service. She said that her life was transformed forever, and that's what happened to us and many. When we give an opportunity for Jesus the healer to heal our hearts, to heal our minds, to heal our spirits, to heal us physically if needed as well. It is a fact that we live in a broken world with broken families, with broken people like everywhere. But that's not the end of the story. We have a live Savior, and he is a healer. And he is available to bring provision for the person that is, you know, don't have any hope. And he is there to give them hope, to heal them, to give them a new beginning, a new life. And I love that. And not only he came to preach good news, not only he came to heal us, but he came to be a deliverer. Not only as a prophet to preach, a priest to heal, but a king to issue proclamations of delivery. Delivery of peace to us. He proclaimed liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who were bound. Think about this. We were all bound by our sins. We were all bound over to the justice of God. We are all his lawful captives till the payment came. on the cross of Calvary for our great debt. And Jesus Christ fulfilled, satisfied the divine justice, and now we are free. And Romans 8:1 says that there is no condemnation whatsoever for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about that. I remember, you know, the first like times in my walk with God that I heard this verse in Romans. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I have just made a decision to be in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was in me. And then to hear like there is condemnation, because I was carrying a lot of condemnation from the previous 17 years of my life. But see, he paid a price that set us all free. That can give us an opportunity to go to bed at night, to lay our heads in our pillow. And if there is anything between us or any other person, we can confess our sins, knowing that He is faithful, He is just. The same sacrifice that He shared for us on the cross of Calvary, it's good enough for our past sins, for our present sins, but also for our future sins. And we can go to Him and we can receive the promise that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know, like today, if you came here feeling like condemned about anything, I just want to tell you, because of the love of our Savior, because of the fact that He came to bring us healing, He came to also to give us a great deliverer, the fact that we are free. We are free indeed. And then lastly, He came to be a comforter. He came to comfort all who mourn. And He will comfort all who mourn. He will care for their needs. To give them, I love the language, bouquets of roses instead of ashes. Messages of joy instead of languid spirit. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And then as a result, and I love this language here, as a result, in their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory. They will actually be called oaks of righteousness. I don't know if you have had an opportunity to see an oak tree. I think I have a picture here of an oak tree. Actually, Drew just told me that someone took him to see, where is Drew? To see that tree. It's something to be amazed. It's something to be there and stare at. This amazing, you know, strong tree, oak trees, probably many of you know, especially those that have worked specifically with those trees. You know, oak trees are hard trees with a deep system of roots, anchoring them securely so they can withstand many seasons of hardship and storm. Oak wood is known for the strength and hardness and resistant to predators and other destructive growth. Live oak trees are evergreen oaks. A mature oak tree can reach around 148 feet. It can live up to 1,000 years. There are about like 600 different species of oak trees. One of the largest one, it's located in Mandeville, Louisiana. They believe that that oak tree is 1,500 years old. And as we know, you know, they were also like widely used for great construction. And the beautiful image here is that the work of Christ, the reason why He came, was to make, you know, of course, the passage right there in Isaiah was applied specifically, you know, for his people in the Old Testament, and he said, I will make them oaks of righteousness. I'm going to apply my righteousness to them, and they will look like a strong tree like that with its branches. And isn't that the work of Jesus Christ's righteousness in our own lives? It make us this beautiful tree, strong, resistant, capable of being a blessing for many things. And I love the words of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. It refers to those who trust in the Lord as evergreen trees. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So beautiful picture here of the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ in our lives, making us, renaming us, giving us a new name, oaks of righteousness. Beautiful trees that withstand no matter what happens. And I couldn't help but think about like the many like oaks of righteousness that I have known in my own life. And I'm talking about people. People that have allowed the Lord to do something so beautiful in their lives that they stand. And they stand not for their own glory. They are actually planted by the Lord for His glory. And even today here, you know, I have known some of you for just a little less than, you know, a few years. And I see some oaks of righteousness. I see some people that God have done a beautiful work, and you have withstand temptations, storms, and you have been a blessing. And I am so thankful for those people in my life that have been like oaks of righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ in their lives were not like in vain, but it was a blessing to many. I don't know about you, but I inspire, by the grace of God, to be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord. One thing that, you know, by looking at that picture, I remember my childhood because up like climbing trees. It was such a blessing. And as I was looking at that picture, you know, I was picturing in the future, you know, to be that for our kids, to be that for our grandkids, so that they can climb, so that they can come under the shade, so that they can stand and admire what God has done. What God has done. Made us, rename us, oaks of righteousness. So, I'm so happy that Jesus came. There are so many reasons. We could be here the rest of the afternoon talking about reasons why he came. But I like to finish with this one here, John 10:10. It says this, a verse that is so dear to my heart. It says this, I have come that they may have life, and life to the full. And when I was taught this verse, it puzzled me Because I thought, like, you know, what life he came to give that I don't have? I'm alive, I'm breathing, I am like going places, I'm like fully alive. What's the life that Jesus came to give that I don't have? And we know it is eternal life. We know that it is the new life. It's the life of God in us that make us completely different, that give us, it change our history. It changed our future. I came to give you life. And Jesus is still present, right? As we go about to celebrate Christmas this year, as we go about to be with our family, so important to remember that we have a Savior like no other. And He is still in the business of transforming lives. He is still in the business of giving us good news, of healing our wounds, of delivering us for whatever, of comforting us through His Holy Spirit inside of us, so that a beautiful work can be done and me and you can be oaks of righteousness planted by the Lord for His glory, for His glory. That gives a totally like different meaning about like becoming old. For the glory of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your presence here with us. Thank you so much that you sent Jesus, that Jesus came, and our lives were changed. Jesus came and Jesus gave. And now He is enlisting us all to go and to give. So, Father, even this Christmas, we understand You came and You gave. So, Father, here we are in December. Here we are with just the opportunities of celebration. But, Father, always remind us the real reason for Christmas, so that we can rejoice, but the rejoicing can overflow to other people as well, and they can rejoice the life and the full life in Jesus Christ. Father, in special today, we like to think about maybe family members. We like to think about maybe friends that are dear to our hearts, that perhaps don't know Jesus personally. And we ask You, maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter. We ask You, Lord, that You would reveal Yourself to them, that they will find in Jesus the most important thing in their lives, that they would receive Jesus and be transformed by Jesus, and be another one proclaiming the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Thank You for bringing us here today. Thank You for our time of celebration, and bless the rest of our time together. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.